Luke chapter 6, verse 47, the Bible says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Can we pray tonight? Lord, thank you for your word again. Thank you, God, for the truth. You said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank you, Lord, that your word establishes us. We want to be established. We live in a world where things are always wishy-washy and up and down and uncertain and unstable. We ask you, Lord, stabilize us tonight. Establish us in your word tonight upon a solid foundation. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this portion of scripture that I read to you tonight, Jesus gives us the parable of two houses and two foundations and two men. There are two different houses, two different foundations, and two different men. In this text, Jesus divides the church into two classes of people, wise and foolish. What Jesus teaches us from this portion of scripture and from this text is this: it's up to you. It's up to you. Now, I want you to understand that tonight. That's a simple concept, but it's so powerful. It's up to you. No one can blame God. No one can blame God for coming up short. No one can blame God for not receiving the benefits and the blessings of being a Christian or a child of God. No one can blame God because it's always up to you. Let me just say tonight, no one is born with the predisposition to be a fool. No one is born that way. No one is born with the predisposition to be wise. What I'm saying is it's a choice. You have to choose whether you're going to be wise or you're going to be foolish. Would you just look over somebody and say, "Make the right choice"? Now tell that same person, said, "Now don't be foolish."
Don't be foolish.
Now watch. Even though this is a teaching of contrast, this scripture that I read to you is a teaching of contrast, is it not? It's a contrast of a wise man and a foolish man. It's a contrast of a house that's built on the sand or a house that's built on the rock. And so it's a teaching of contrast, but there is one thing that is the same. Even though it's a teaching about variables, there's one thing that's the same, and that same thing is storms. The storm came to both houses. The storm was a constant. The point is, storms come to everybody. I don't care who you are. Storms come to everybody. So I said, "Well, I just want to serve God so I don't have to go through anything." I'm sorry. You're joining the wrong crowd, wrong team. He never said we wouldn't have to go through anything. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Being a Christian does not exempt us from problems, but it promises us his presence. Oh, hallelujah. Even in the midst of the fiery furnace. Amen. But the point is, storms come to everybody. That being said, the only question is not why or how, but it is when. When will the storm come? I lived in a place called Tornado Alley for years, and there's no question of why the storm will come or if they will come or which direction it'll come from, because none of those things really make any difference anyway. But the question that always remains is, when? When? Storms come. When you least expect them, they can come at 3 o'clock in the morning. They can come at 5 o'clock in the morning. They can come in mid-afternoon. You never know when it's coming. But the truth is, that question cannot be answered because no one can control the weather. At best, we can try to predict it, but no one can control it. The same is true of life. No one knows when the storms will come. I grew up in a home relatively trouble-free. I was blessed. I was sheltered. I really didn't know any trouble in my house. I didn't know anything about having problems until I turned 20 and my mom was stricken with cancer. And all of a sudden, our world turned upside down and a household and a family that didn't even know what trouble was thrown into a storm, the greatest storm of our lives. I understand something about storms. They come when you least expect them. Some have the advantage in the natural. Some have the advantage of daylight hours. They've seen the storm coming in the distance. They're able to brace for it or get out of the way. But others, there's no warning. They went to bed after a beautiful summer's evening, a spring evening. They woke up to the sound of a tornado ripping the house apart, destroying everything they hold dear, even to the loss of their family members, husbands, wives, and children. In the morning light, all that remains are the broken, shattered pieces of a life that used to be, a home that used to be, a marriage that used to be beautiful, a body that used to be healthy and strong, a family that used to be close, that used to love each other, a mind that used to be clear and sharp, uncluttered by drugs and alcohol, a retirement plan that used to exist but got blown away by the storm, a car that used to be beautiful but got blown away by the storm, dreams and aspirations that were destroyed, and it all happened without warning, and it all happened while they were sleeping. And I wonder how many storms actually in your life and my life could have been avoided if we had not been sleeping. I know tonight when I'm preaching this message, I know there are some storms in life that are unavoidable. And there's nothing you can do about it. But there are some storms that could be avoided if we would just wake up. There are some storms that could be avoided. Well, just look at somebody and say, wake up, neighbor. Wake up, neighbor. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. All marriages don't have to end in divorce. All physical attacks don't have to lead to heart attacks or stroke or cancer or sugar diabetes. A lot of things that happen in our lives simply happen because we're asleep, we're not watching, we're not paying attention. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 7 says, they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let me tell you something. Samson didn't have to have his eyes punched out. He didn't have to suffer humiliation and play the part of a fool and a slave in a Philistine prison. This was a storm Samson could have avoided. Samson's problem was he was sleeping when he should have been praying. He was sleeping when he should have been reading the Word of God. Sleeping when he should have been in church, listening to the Word of God, being preached, taking notes, making preparation, building his foundation. Samson was sleeping while the storm was brewing. Samson closed his eyes to the obvious threat around him. Samson pretended that everything was all right when he knew in his heart it was all wrong. Let me tell you tonight, somebody tonight, you may be going through a storm. And as I said, I know some storms are unavoidable, but there are some storms in life you don't have to go through. Some of you today may be in storms right now that you didn't have to go through. Hell, you didn't have to go through. Heartbreak, you didn't have to experience. There are storms that are the product and the fruit of fleshly desires and wrong decisions. Listen, friend, listen. Samson's life was a series of storms. Tragedies, loss, heartbreak. And every one of them was the product of his own self-will and actions birthed out of the desires of his flesh. Now, we've all been there. No one can point a self-righteous finger at somebody else without pointing a finger at yourself. We've all blown it. We've all moved in the flesh. We've all ignored wise counsel, did what we wanted to. And like Samson, we found ourselves in a storm. But these are not the storms that I'm talking about in the text today. The storms I'm talking about were supernatural in design and origin, and they were unavoidable. The storm is not the consequence of bad actions or selfish or carnal decisions. I'm talking about a storm that is satanic. I'm talking about a storm that originates in hell. I'm talking about a storm that is the work of the devil himself, that is sent to destroy your life and that is designed to destroy your faith and to take you out. It's a fiery furnace that is designed and formed and created for the sole purpose of destroying your life. Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace was supposed to prove publicly that the faith of the three Hebrew children was worthless. It was his intention to publicly humiliate the testimony and the confession of these three children of faith. That's the purpose of the storm. That's the reason it comes. The devil brings storms into your life to humiliate you, to ridicule you, to destroy your faith in God, to put you on display and to say to the world, they couldn't make it and neither will you. I destroyed them and I'll destroy you too. And the sad truth is there are many in the church that have been blown away by the storms and they've fallen. And Jesus tells us why. Listen to a revelation. Because they built their house on the sand. They went to church. They heard the preacher. They shouted. They danced. Even paid their tithes. Talked in tongues. But they built their house on the sand. Sand means surface, moving, shifting, changing, unstable. They built on religious affiliation. They built on their good deeds. They built on their morality and legal righteousness. They built on their own wisdom and their own knowledge. And all of these things are but sand moving and shifting with the rising tide. No wonder the songwriter penned the words, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." It's no mystery, friend, if you understand the words of Jesus. It's no mystery when someone falls, regardless of how big or beautiful the house or the ministry. Jesus reveals to us that when someone falls, the house is destroyed in the storm. It is a foundation problem. Everybody say foundation. Everything depends on your foundation. This is where many people miss it. They want a big, beautiful ministry. They want something beautiful that other people can see. They want to build something they can be proud of that will impress others. They want the anointing. They want to minister publicly. They want to preach. They want to teach. They want to sing. They want to evangelize. They want big houses, fancy cars, reputation, popularity. They put all their energy into building what you can see, and they fail to build a strong foundation. Yes. Jesus said the wise man dug down deep. Yes. And he laid his foundation on the rock. What am I saying? The wise man understands that the most necessary thing in his house is the foundation. Yes. The wise man is more concerned with what others cannot see than what they can see. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. My life, what you see about my life, is about that much. Yeah. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday.
That's right.
It's about that much. You don't see me in my bedroom. You don't see me in my study. You don't see me in my prayer room. You don't see me in my Bible. You don't see me on my knees. You don't see the time I spend before God. You don't see that. But I understand the most important thing in my life is not what you see. It's what you don't see. The most important thing, Jesus spent 30 years of his life preparing for a 3.5-year ministry. He spent 30 years of his life in private preparing his life, building the foundation for a 3.5-year public ministry. Many ministries spend 3.5 years in private trying to prepare for a 30-year public ministry. Look at somebody and say, go down deep.
Go down deep.
You got to build on the rock. Yeah. We know that Jesus was born We saw him at 12 years of age in the temple. We know nothing of his life until he was 12 years old. Nothing of his life after he was 12 years old until he opened his public ministry at 30 years of age. What was he doing in all those silent years? He was building. He was laying the foundation for his ministry. Jesus was teaching us how to build our lives. He taught us in Matthew 6, 1 through 8 to do our praying in secret in the closet, to do our alms between ourselves and God, to fast secretly unto the Lord, not seeking the attention of others. This is the foundational life. Oh, hallelujah. He said, when you've done all these other things and you've done them secretly with your Father, he said, your Father will reward you openly. Hallelujah. Oh, Rasataya. The wise man digs down deep. In other words, the wise man is willing to invest time and effort in building a good foundation. Jesus reveals the reason one man's house was destroyed by the storm and the other was not, was all because of the foundation. Laying the foundation for a successful life is hard work. Anybody can shout, dance, run, speak in tongues, but it's hard to shout and dance, run and holler when you're digging, when you're hitting rocks and roots and getting things out of your life that are unstable, undependable, shifting and loose. But the wise man digs down deep. You have to dig deep. Say, dig deep.
Dig deep.
Say, I'm going to dig deep.
We're going to dig deep.
The wise man digs down. He digs deep. You got to dig past some things. Oh, hallelujah. You have to dig past feelings. You have to dig past your emotions. You have to dig past popular opinion. Dig past religious pedigree. You have to dig past head knowledge. You have to dig past secondhand revelation. In other words, you can't build your life on who everyone else says Jesus is. You got to know him for yourself. There are storms in life that are unavoidable. There are storms that take us by surprise. There are storms that are supernatural in design. But the revelation Jesus brings to us is this. If the house has the right foundation, it will still be standing when the storm is over. Oh, hallelujah. Can you just raise your hands and thank him right now for just a minute? You'll still be standing when the storm is over. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, you see me standing up here tonight and it looks like I got it all together. But let me tell you something, that doesn't mean I've never been through a storm. You hear me speaking words of encouragement and blessing, lifting you up, but that don't mean I ain't never been down. Hallelujah. I don't have time tonight to talk about all the storms I've been through in my life. Some I could have avoided and some I could not. But the message I want to get to you tonight is this. I'm still standing. Hallelujah. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm still standing. I'm still standing. Yeah, I've been through the storm. I took a good hit, but I'm still standing. It was a bad storm. I confess it was a bad storm, but I'm still standing. I lost some stuff that I thought I couldn't live without, but I'm still standing. It blew some people away I thought were my friends, but here I am. I'm still standing. And sometimes it felt like the storm would never end, but here I am, and I'm still standing. Oh, Rasanalabahaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm still standing, glory to God. I'm still standing. Man of God, how did you make it? You ask. How did you survive? Others didn't make it. How do you make it through the storm of sickness? How do you make it through the storm of the loss of a loved one? How do you make it through broken relationships, through the storm of divorce, through heartbreak, through financial disaster? How do you make it when everything you love and hold dear is taken from you? So many people give up. So many people fall. So many people fail. So many people quit. So many people bail out. What is the secret? The secret is, you've got to find the rock. Amen. Somebody sang the song and said, where do I go when there's nobody left to lean on? I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the rock that the builders rejected. You've got to find the rock. You've got to dig past everything and everybody else. You've got to dig past church. You got to dig past religion. You got to dig past emotions. You got to dig past opinions. And you got to hit the rock. Hallelujah. Somebody say, hit the rock.
Oh,
yeah. Hit the rock. I felt the rain as it pounded on my life. I've heard the thunder roll. I've seen the lightning flash. I felt the hand of fear as it tried to grip my heart, but I kept digging, and finally I hit the rock. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I hit the rock. Glory to God. Yeah, when I felt the rock under my feet, I knew I was safe. When I felt the rock under my feet, I knew I was going to make it. When I felt the rock under my feet, I knew it didn't matter how dark the night. It didn't matter how deep the valley. It didn't matter how wide the river. It didn't matter how high the mountain. I knew I was going to make it, because nothing can move my rock. Oh, hallelujah. Look at somebody, tell them, nothing can move my rock. Nothing can move my rock. Nothing can move my rock. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel 22 and 2. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. David said in Psalm 62 and 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, David said in Psalms 40 and 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, tell him, you've got to hit the rock. You got to hit the rock. It doesn't matter what you got to do. You got to hit the rock. You got to dig until you hit the rock. You got to pray until you hit the rock. You got to get in the word until you hit the rock. You got to dig until you hit the rock. Because nothing can move my rock. In Job 29 and 6, he said, the rock poured me out rivers of water. Woo! Thank God for the rock. He poured me out rivers of oil. Psalms 81:16, he said he would satisfy me with honey from the rock. We used to sing a song that said, there's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. Well, it tastes like honey in the rock. Taste and see, for the Lord is good. For it tastes like honey in the rock. Oh, glory to God. That's the rock I'm talking about. It's the same rock Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Come on, look at somebody, tell them, nothing can move my rock. Nothing can move my rock. Glory to God. David said in Psalms 46, 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. David is saying this. He said, it doesn't matter what comes my way in life, I'm going to make it, because nothing can move my rock. Oh, Rasaya. Hallelujah. It's not about me being so strong. It's not about me having it all together. It's not about me knowing all the things and the right things to do. It's about the rock. Oh, hallelujah. It's about the foundation that I got under me. It's about the fact that I have learned I've got to get to the rock when my soul is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock, because nothing can move my rock. Nothing can move my rock. Somebody listening to me tonight, you're in the storm of your life. And as I'm ministering this word, I'm not even concerned with whether it was avoidable or not. I'm not asking you if you caused it, if decisions you made caused it. We're not asking if it was self-inflicted or whether it was a demon from hell sent to destroy you. The point is, you're in a storm and things are shaking and you need help, and you need it now. Everything you're holding on to is shaky, it's falling apart. We're living in a very unstable world, I'm telling you. This is why God impressed me to speak this word tonight. I've been preaching about being persuaded. And God impressed me to bring this word tonight because we're living in a world where nothing is stable. Nothing. You can't trust in anything except this. I don't mean to be mean about it. I'm just telling you. We cannot trust our government. We cannot trust our government. We cannot trust our health care. We cannot trust our,
our Social Security. We cannot trust our finances. We cannot trust. There is nothing we can trust. There's nothing we can depend upon except this rock, Christ Jesus. We've got to build on the rock. There's so much, so many winds that are blowing, so much deception and seduction that's blowing through the land. And I've got to get you to the rock. That's my responsibility as a minister, as a pastor, is to get you to the rock. It's not to impress you with my charisma. It's not to impress you with the way I dress or the way I wear my hair. I couldn't care less. It's to get you to the rock. Because as sure as I stand here tonight, if you're not in a storm, storms will come. As sure as I stand here tonight, you may be in peaceful waters right now, but there is a storm brewing. And it's my job, and it's my privilege, and it's my responsibility to lead you to the rock that is higher than you. Come on, lift your hands right now and thank Him for the rock. Lift your hands and thank you for the rock. Nothing can move your rock. Nothing going to move my rock. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The rock that is higher. The rock that is higher than your storm. The rock that's higher than the financial battle. The rock that's higher than the physical battle. The rock that's higher than the fight you're in. The rock that's higher than the fire you're going through. The rock that's higher than the enemy that's warring against you. That's the rock I came to lead you to today. And that rock has a name, and His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And nothing can move my rock. He is the rock of ages. He is the rock that never rolls. He is the foundation that never shifts. He is the friend that stickers closer than a brother. He is the doctor that never lost a patient. He's the captain that never lost a battle. He's the pilot that never lost a ship. He's your shelter in the time of storm, and He is your fortress, and He is your high tower, and nothing can move your rock. Nothing can move my rock. It doesn't matter what happens in the government. It's not going to move my rock. It doesn't matter what happens in Social Security. It's not going to move my rock. It doesn't matter what happens in healthcare. It's not going to move my rock. Nothing can move my rock. And I have made up my mind. I'm going to build my life on the solid rock. I'm going to build my life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to dig. And I'm going to dig until I hit the rock. And when I hit the rock, I'm going to build my life on the rock, because nothing can move my rock. Come on and stand to your feet tonight. Hallelujah. I'm passionate about this word tonight. One of the reasons why, because I'm 55 years old. And I've grown up in church, and I've seen so many people's lives wiped out that were churchgoers, that sat in the church and heard the message, and yet I look at their lives, and their lives were wiped out. And I said, God, it can't be right. How can that happen? I asked God. I said, it can't be right. They were a church of tenders. They were faithful. They paid tithes. They listened to the word. They heard the word preached. And now they're not even serving you. They're out living in the world. Their lives are wrecked. I said, God, that can't be right. What's the problem? He said, their foundation was wrong. They didn't build on the rock. Church affiliation is sand, friend. Just being connected to a church is sand. It's good to be connected to a church, but that's not your rock. I'm third generation Pentecostal Church of God, but that's not my rock. That's not my rock. I'm third generation preacher of the gospel, but that's not my rock. My Pentecostal pedigree is not my rock. My rock is the person. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. My dad didn't pass this down to me. Nobody laid hands on me and gave me this relationship. I dug for it. I dug for it. Nothing can move a rock. We're moving into a time like we've never experienced in this world before. And I'm not a prophet of gloom and doom, but I'm going to tell you, we're moving in a time like we have never experienced before in our lives. Persecution is getting ready to come to the church like we've never experienced before. That's not being a prophet of gloom and doom. That's telling you so you can get ready. It's telling you so you can get ready. You say, that sounds scary, man of God. What do I do? Hit the rock.
Hit the rock.
Hit the rock. Build your life on the rock. Build your life on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings will come down. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, one thing you can depend on, nothing is going to move the rock. Nothing is going to move the rock. And anything that's built on the rock is not going to be shaken. He said the storm came, and the storm came to both houses and both lives. But the man who built his house on the sand, the Bible says that the house fell, and great was the fall of it immediately. But it said when the same storm came and the rains, and they beat vehemently upon the man's house who built his life on the rock, it said when he built his house on the rock, it said it could not be shaken.
Shaken.
Hallelujah. And when it's all said and done, I'm still standing. You're still standing. Because we're building our lives on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing is going to move our rock. I want you to find somebody to pray for tonight. I want you to find someone to agree with tonight. I want you to reach over and take somebody by the hand tonight. Now, no one can build your life for you. No one can build your house for you. But we are all helpers. We're all fellow laborers together. So I want you to begin to pray for that one you're holding hands with right now. I want you to begin to pray for them right now. Because storms are coming, I want you to pray for them that they will dig down deep. That their lives will be established upon the rock that cannot be moved. That their lives will be established upon the foundation of God's holy word. That nothing will be able to shake them off of the word of God. That no matter what comes, no matter what goes, we're going to build our lives on the word of God. Come on, lift them up. Lift them up. Pray for them right now. I'm going to help you dig. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get past all the confusion. I'm going to help you get past all the misunderstanding. I'm going to help you get past all the depression, all the discouragement of the past, all the disappointment of the past. I'm going to help you get past it. I'm going to help you get to the rock. I'm going to lead you to the rock that is higher than you. I'm going to lead you to the rock that is higher than health care. I'm going to lead you to the rock that's higher than Social Security. I'm going to lead you to the rock that's higher than our government. I'm going to lead you to the rock that's higher than religion and tradition. I'm going to lead you to the rock, Christ Jesus. Upon this rock, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God, I thank you that not one person under the sound of my voice will be swept away by the storm. And no matter what storm comes or what storm goes, Lord, they will not be swept away. But when the storm passes over, they will still be standing because they are building their lives upon the rock. Because they are digging down deep and they are hitting the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And they are not going to be moved. They're not going to be swept away. They're not going to be deceived. Oh, Kapala Shatai. I thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord. I thank you for the Holy Ghost who leads us to the rock. I thank you for the Holy Ghost that leads us to your word. I thank you for the Holy Ghost that leads us to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I thank you for that rock. That rock that cannot be shaken. that rocks and never rolls. Hallelujah. Oh, we're building on the rock tonight. We're not building on popular opinion. We're not building on tradition or religion, but we're building on a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're building on the rock. And that rock cannot be moved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Because everything you've brought, you praise God.
Hallelujah. 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 I'm almost done. I'm going to turn you loose tonight.
Thank you, hallelujah.
I'm going to let you go.
Praise God.
This is the part of that story that really disturbed me. And it's not a story, it's the way Jesus illustrated life. But this is the part that really disturbed me. Two men, both men heard the same thing. That's what the Bible says. He said, the wise man heard the same word the foolish man heard. If the wise man and foolish man heard the same word, that makes it sound like they were in the same place where the word was being spoken. That's a tragedy. To think that in the same house, there would be wise and foolish sitting side by side. But it's not because God predestined you to be foolish and God predestined the other to be wise. It's because the foolish man heard the word, but he didn't do it. That was building on the rock, the doing of the word. The wise man heard the word and did it. That's a building on the rock. When God revealed that to me, I said, God, I'm determined to be that wise man. I'm determined to be that wise man. And I said, God, if you'll help me, I will help people everywhere I go to understand the difference between the wise and the foolish. So they can build their life on the solid rock. Because this rock cannot be shaken. Nothing is going to move my rock. It's going to move my rock. If you're here right now, I'm just going to ask you, I feel led of the Lord to do this. If you're here right now and you're going through a storm in your life and you just need God to do something for you right now, I want you to come. Come on. It doesn't matter what that storm is. Storms don't mean that you miss God. Storms don't mean that you are backslidden. Storms are just part of life. We go through storms, man. It's just life. It's just going to happen. And God wants to minister to you tonight. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to pour into you tonight. He wants to pour His anointing into you, pour His strength into you. You're in the right place at the right time to receive strength. Hallelujah. To receive encouragement and authority, God. Just like Sister Carol, right there in Smart and Final, she poured into this young lady, wrapped her arms around her, and poured into her. Amen. Come on, Sister Carol. Come on, Sister Judy. Come on up here with me tonight. Hallelujah, Sister Pam. Anyone else? Just a man of God. Just a pastor. I really do need some encouragement tonight. Sister Wanda, you come help us. I really need some strength tonight. I really need God to just undergird me. I'm going through something in my life, and I really need strength from God tonight. I really need His encouragement. God's going to pour strength into you tonight. We're never intended to go through all this alone. We're never intended to be islands. We're no man is an island. We need each other. Amen. Just stretch your hands this way, church. Reach your hands this way. How many would pray for this lady tonight like you would want her to pray for you? Pray for Sister Darlene. Pray for Darlene like you would want her to pray for you. Shauna. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Shauna to you right now. I pray, God, for strength to come into her life, Lord God. Lord, you know what she's going through. You know the storm. You know, Lord, the turbulence that she's going through right now, Lord. And you have not deserted her, Lord. You have not forsaken her, Lord. You are present, Lord, to strengthen her today. You're present to lift her up, Lord. It's our privilege to lead her to the rock that is higher than her. The rock that is higher than the storm. The rock that is higher than the turbulence, Lord, that she's in right now, God. We just lead her to that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, that she will be established upon the rock, Lord, and that your strength Lord, will flow into her right now, God. You'll minister strength to her. Minister peace to her, Lord. Minister life to her. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we will still be standing when the storm is over, God. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your present help. You're the present help in every time of need, every time of need. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Sister Claire, as you come. We came, Father, we pray for Sister Claire right now in the name of Jesus. Father, that you would just minister strength to her. The encouragement of the Holy Spirit, Lord. The uplifting of the Holy Spirit tonight, God. That you just pour into her life, Lord. The strength, the courage. The courage, Lord. The strength, Lord. The encouragement, Lord God. To keep on moving forward, God. Lord, to not back up, Lord. But to keep moving forward, Lord. To keep digging and building on the rock, Lord God. And Father, we thank you tonight for strength, for peace. In Jesus' name, peace in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anyone else tonight? Amen. Father, I thank you tonight, God, for strength. And I thank you for courage tonight. I thank you for encouragement, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are a present help in every time of need, Lord. Lord, you see the turbulence. You see the storm that she's been in, God. You see, Lord, the attacks upon her family, the attacks upon her life, Lord. But God, we thank you today that there is a rock that cannot be moved. There's a rock that cannot be shaken. The Lord Jesus Christ. And when our feet are established upon the rock, we will not be shaken. We will not be moved, Lord. And when the storm is past, we'll still be standing, giving you the praise and giving you the glory. Thank you for courage tonight. Thank you for the peace of God that rules in our hearts and minds, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement, Lord, to keep on pressing, God, to keep on moving forward, God, to not back up or back down, God, but to dig down deep in the middle of the ocean, the Lord of the ocean, to build our house and build our life on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you for that strength tonight. We thank you for that power. We thank you for that stability. We thank you for that establishment, Lord, as we build on the rock, as we lean on the rock, as we stand on the rock. You are dependable. You are trustworthy. Hallelujah. We can depend on you, Lord. We can trust you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can trust you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Holy Name. Praise the Holy Name. Praise the Holy Name.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Holy Name.
Hallelujah.
The night my mother passed and went to heaven, that night we went to a church service, my brothers and I. And the person that was in charge of the service, the minister, sensed the necessity in our life and the need for God to strengthen us and to give us that opportunity to come to the altar. And that night we went to the altar, all four of us boys, and we cried. And we understood that our mom was going to be dying very soon. We didn't know it was going to be tonight. But I cannot tell you how much God strengthened us that night at that altar. Just those few minutes we spent at that altar, pouring our hearts out to God, leaning on the rock, drawing strength from the Lord. He strengthened us so much. I thought to myself, I thought I could never be in the room when my mom passed. I didn't want to be there. I thought that was the most terrible thing. My heart couldn't stand it. But when it was close to time for her to go, you couldn't have pulled me away from her. And I stood right beside her, and I held her hand, because God strengthened me. He strengthened me. I held her hand, and I said, Mom, we'll see you in a little while. I'll see you in a little while. And my friend, I've got something to go to heaven for. I got a grandfather over there. I got a grandmother that lived for God, that loved God, that showed me the right way. I got a mother over there that left way too early, 41 years of age. I said, Mom, I'm going to see you in a little while, and I'm going to make it. Because she's waiting on me. She's waiting on us four boys. I'm telling you, that night at that altar, we stepped up onto the rock and God strengthened us. He's so faithful. He's so faithful. Can we just praise Him one more time?
He is so faithful.
For being so faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, you're so faithful. You're such a faithful Father. You're so ready to lift us up. You're so willing to strengthen us. So willing, Lord, to pour into us in our times of need. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you tonight, Lord, that you're always there. We just have to step up. We just have to reach up. We just have to dig down. We just have to find the rock. And when we find the rock, we know we're safe. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Where would I go but to the Lord? There is no place else. No one can strengthen you like the rock. Amen. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's all stand tonight. Hallelujah. How many feel and believe in your heart tonight that you have stepped up onto that rock? Amen. Amen. Thank God for the rock, Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, we love you.
We love you, Lord.
We love your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being that rock that never rolls. Thank you for being that stable, that stability that we can depend on. In a world that is so undependable, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence in this house tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we have been strengthened in this house. We have been strengthened in our hearts, in our spirits, Lord. We have been strengthened for the days to come. And we say thank you. And we give you praise for it. God, go with each one from this place. Keep your hand of protection upon them. Lord, let angels assist them. Give your angels charge over them tonight as they travel home, Lord. And Father, we thank you and praise you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We love you. Nothing's going to move my rock.